Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. I'm your Plan B host, Cindy Clark, here along with Gary Wyatt, six-time champion, and Matt the Freak Esposito. We're brought to you by Justice Brothers, the Hearing Center, Reliable Banner, Gary's Trailer Repair, and the Late Model Truck Series. Speaking of Late Model Truck Series, Gary, when's your next Late Model Truck Series race?
Saturday in Irwindale.
At Irwindale. Is this your first time at Irwindale with the trucks?
Yes.
And are you driving?
Yes.
Are you winning?
Hopefully.
All right.
I'm going to try.
And how many trucks do you have pre-entered?
10.
Oh, that's great.
10, and we're hoping for a few more little stragglers to come in. So.
If the Mint 400 weren't this weekend, I would go, but, you know, come on, one more. So that's exciting.
I need to figure out who scheduled a race on the Mint 400.
Yeah, wasn't that you?
No, I think the Mint 400 scheduled on us.
No.
Yes.
I think they had their schedule out before you.
No.
Well, call up the Martelli brothers and give them some heck.
Yep.
Don't.
But speaking of the Mint 400, that is this weekend, which is, I think, going to be a more exciting race than that little thing they had last weekend. Who went to that thing last weekend? Little NASCAR thing.
What? Yeah. At the Speedway?
Yeah.
No.
I did.
They have Philly cars?
Yeah. I went. Yeah, I worked. You know, paid to go to the racetrack. Nothing wrong with that, right? But more important, going to be more fun than that. Is the Mint 400, and isn't there a parade tomorrow?
There is a parade tomorrow at 4. It starts at 4 p.m. from the south side of Las Vegas Boulevard all the way down to Fremont.
And our friends here with us tonight, Brooke Wagner and Kevin Benelli, will be in the parade. Tell us, what car are you guys bringing to the parade tomorrow?
So we'll be in a 2000 truck, which is technically a 1450, but on leaf springs. But we'll be in 2069 with a big old Let's Go Brandon flag on it.
Nice. So come down to the strip tomorrow at 4 o'clock. You know which car to cheer for. And now that parade is the kickoff for the festivities for the rest of the week. So what happens on Thursday?
So there's actually on Wednesday, right after the parade, there's a kickoff party till I think it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then after that, tech inspection starts on Fremont, which is also open to the public, starts at 9 to 6.
Yep.
And then I think there's another party after that. Oh, no, there's a party at Hogs and Heifers. I know that.
No, but you guys got to rest up because don't you start racing.
Oh, yeah,
on
we're not. No, we're not partying. We're going to be in that truck for
a long time. As
long as I'd like to be.
Why do you say that?
It's rough. I don't know if you guys have been out to Gene or certain areas out there, but there are whoop sections that I can fit my entire truck into, and it disappears. It's rough.
When is your particular race start?
We start Friday at we stage at 8, and then we start around 10 or 11, depending on our starting order. And then I think start and finish closes at 10 or 11 p.m. that night.
It's a long time. I don't know.
Yeah. You have 12 hours.
There's roughly, yeah.
To go 3 laps.
Yep.
And you're going to let Brooke drive?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you'll get there.
If I don't make it
there. Exactly. We'll get there.
Oh, that's exciting. And then, so what do you guys do on Saturday then, other than sleep in?
He doesn't get a chance to sleep in on Saturday.
Yeah. So
what do you got to do on Saturday?
I got to go pit. Well, I don't have to, but I'm going to go pit for the Deans in their one car.
Okay.
And possibly BJ Baldwin, but we'll see how that, depending on when they come in the pits.
Is that something like you bring your helmet to just in case their co-driver doesn't?
Oh, yeah. Off-road races, you always bring your full gear. Because we've had co-drivers that they puke in their helmets and they just drop them off in the desert sometimes, or they'll bring them in. We had one guy actually, it was a night race that we were pitting for Jim Hayford. And he's also a 2000 truck. We weren't racing that one. But the co-driver came in with heat exhaustion and was like fainting and falling all over the. Oh, yeah. So he got out. And then some other guy came running down. We had, no one knew who he was. And he just jumped in this trophy truck and they took off.
For real?
Yeah. Because you have to have a co-driver per at least NOAA rules. And I'm pretty sure Bestman, if you have two seats, they have to be occupied.
Otherwise, you have
time.
To take the seat out.
Yeah.
So when after the race, did they figure out who the guy was? Did anybody ever know him?
The backup co-driver?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure eventually they figured
out. Yeah, they probably became
but...
friends.
Yeah.
As soon as they started going.
The last or so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that kind of thing together.
They did finish, though, so that's good. The car finished.
So we got to start at the beginning. Kevin, are you, you're from Vegas?
Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been in Vegas?
Pretty much my whole life. I think my mom moved us here when I was probably 2 years old.
And when did you start interested in racing?
I've always raced bicycles and that, and BMX and
any competitive sport.
Yeah, I'm just competitive.
Baseball.
Yeah.
I guess.
You got a championship in Little League baseball.
Oh, okay.
But no, we did that, and I got into off-road racing kind of in high school. We built a super sweet pre-runner. It was just a Ford Ranger with a 3-inch lift, and I thought I had the coolest truck out there. Then I got invited by a friend to go to Mexico with Baldwin. And after that, I was like, oh, yeah, this is what we're doing.
You still have a liver?
Sometimes.
Barely.
Yeah, it's hanging
Mexico
on there.
Mexico with Baldwin.
It's hanging on
it's
there.
It's a drinking party and then a race breakdown.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. I didn't know that was my first time in Mexico. We got really drunk at the Monster Party.
No.
And I know, right? Shocker. And at Papa's and Beer in Ensenada. And, Sparky, one of the guys that was there, he was like, dude, you've never been here. You don't want to do it. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, whatever. It's probably just a straight road. No, it's switchbacks like you couldn't believe. And that was the worst time of my life getting down to, I think we got halfway down, or like right outside of Loretto. Yeah, it was a rough week.
Oh.
And, or worse, rough day, I should say. So
that got you hooked?
Not the hangover, but the race itself, yeah.
That
yeah.
Was that your first, like, big sport, or did you go out to the Mint? Would they race in the Mint when you were in high school? Because they kind of had a
I don't think
hiatus,
they did.
Huh?
Yeah, they kind of stopped for a little. But
they
had
Score and Snore. And
yeah, and I volunteered at a couple Snore races when Brittany Burgos was the president. I don't know if she was the president. She was a volunteer coordinator. And they volunteered a couple races there. One of my friends, Joe, he was filming at the time. He wasn't a friend yet, but he was like, oh, yeah, you going to race that thing? I was like, I'd like to one day. I ended up racing it the next year because then I got back from Mexico.
In your Ranger?
Yeah. Yeah, the same one we're racing now, but it was had a little four-cylinder, probably pushing 80 horsepower to the wheels. It was, yeah. It was
Did he finish?
No. My buddy Cameron raced it the first day because he helped me build the track. And he raced it the second day, and he blew the wheel off of it the first day. And then I think we finished the second day, but we timed out by, like, 10 minutes. So we finished, but technically we didn't.
Technically, you got a DNF anyway.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
That's a feat, though, just to finish an off-road
yeah.
race. Is a feat.
Yes, ma'am.
So then from there, what happened then?
We built the truck.
Was that?
That was the very end of 2013, beginning of... So this is kind of hard to explain. It's like right at the end of 2012, and I call my buddy Cameron and go, dude, you want to strip my daily driver and build a race car? And he's like, yeah. Like, why not?
Who would say no?
And then he's like, okay, when do you want to start? And I'm like, I can come to your house right now. And he's like, okay. So I drove down from Sunderland to Henderson.
Is there alcohol involved?
No.
This is
probably.
Okay. Yeah.
Not yet. There was
destruction and cool stuff.
I can't answer that question. I was 18.
Underage.
So definitely was no alcohol.
Oh, of course.
Definitely not.
His mother was not the supplier.
Definitely wasn't, actually. It wasn't Cameron.
As long as you don't leave the house.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't one of those. But, yeah, I drove it down there, and we just started tearing all the interior out of my truck, and I sent a picture to my mom.
Did she freak out?
Yeah, she was like, what the hell? You just bought that truck. And I was like, and now I'm just building it. It's a win. I still drive it, Mom. So I drove a race truck around town for like 2 years because it was still my daily driver. We kept the windshield in it.
Nice.
And then we slowly upgraded it to what it's at today. So a little more horsepower, a lot better suspension, and okay, it's a lot more horsepower. But
so have you been racing it ever since in like Snore and Best
mm-hmm.
in the Desert?
Yeah, so I've only raced that truck in Snore. This will be the first race out of Snore with this truck. But I've done other races in other cars in like Best in the Desert. And
so did you get another daily driver?
Eventually, yeah.
Well,
yeah, she's
now?
Right here.
Yeah.
I ended up getting a 77 F100 because that was the only thing I could afford at the time, and it kind of towed the truck.
And then how did you meet your lovely girlfriend?
It's actually one of my cousins, or one of my friend's cousins that I went to high school with.
Thanks, Cody.
Nice.
He came over to a party. I had an apartment at one time, and he came over with her. And I was like, dude, who's that? And he was like, it's my cousin. Don't touch her. And I was like, all right.
8 years later, here
yeah.
we are.
Yeah.
So, Brooke, how long have you been in Vegas?
I've been here my entire life.
Oh, wow.
Born and raised, yep.
And were you ever in – how'd you get into racing?
Well, my dad has always been drag racing.
Okay.
So I've always, like, had racing in my blood, but – I started racing with Kevin in February of 2016, actually. At the it was Battle at Prim in 2016. It was my first official race with him. But
you skipped a lot. You were born here. You were in a drag race. And how did you get interested in off-road?
Because I was dating someone who was building an off-road
you just,
truck.
Like, your cousin took you to a party, and before that you didn't go to any off-road before?
Nope. It was always drag racing, kind of NASCAR, not so much, but I was – at the drag strip during the season when my dad was racing.
Did you ever go to like the Bull Ring or Pahrump or any circle track?
Nope, not really. Anything that was not drag racing, I would say was like the dirt cars, not dirt cars, whatever it was in Utah we would go to.
Demolition Derby.
Yeah, and that's what we would go out and, because our family lived in Utah, so we would go out there and watch that all the time. But
the Bull Ring sometimes is like a demo.
Yeah. Nothing other than just my dad drag racing and some little things here and there, like at the fair in Utah and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
So,
how old were you when your cousin brought you to that party?
17, I think.
18 for legal reasons. 18 for legal reasons. We didn't start dating till she turned 18.
Yeah, right.
For the record.
I was 17 when we first met. And we started dating.
At a non-alcohol party, of course.
I didn't drink in my defense.
No, that one was an alcohol party for sure.
Kevin was drunk.
And you were like, oh, he's sexy and drunk?
No, I was like, definitely not. This guy's not for me. I want to leave.
Aww.
And, so
and she left immediately.
I did. I left. My cousin stayed there. And
who gave him your phone number? You did?
I asked my cousin for it.
Oh, and then you call him?
Yeah, he told my cousin that he was going to get my number, and my cousin was like, oh, yeah, right. You're lucky if you ever see her again kind of thing. And anyway, I messaged him 3 days later and got his number and texted him some nonsense I don't even remember.
Something that I owed you money.
Yeah.
And you're going to come find me.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So from there, we've...
You mean it wasn't, I want to see your truck?
Definitely not. He tried to impress me with his truck, and I was like, what is this thing?
We're all two-wheeling down the street at a weather-up party. She was freaking out.
Yeah, he was up on two wheels, and, I mean, it was all for a thrill, but I wasn't really excited about it. So.
And then you still went out with him again after that.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I think I just fit in with his lifestyle at that point.
I think you're an adrenaline junkie.
Yes, for sure. I definitely am. I definitely am there for the thrill, and he is a thriller, so I stuck.
Aww.
Yep.
So how long ago was that? How many years now? 8, you said?
Yep, we started dating in April of 2014.
Good thing she said that. I would have forgot.
Well, you better write that down.
I'm kidding.
It's documented now, so you can always play the video back and go,
I appreciate all you guys.
Well, at that point, you're already, 2014, you're already racing Best in the Desert?
I raced a 10 car in Best in the Desert in 2014.
Did you go to that?
No, I...
it was right before we met, I think.
The first race I think I ever went to was Battle at Prim 2015.
Cedar City.
Okay. Cedar City in 2015.
Wasn't Cedar City a side-by-side race?
No,
that was an
every... the only time they've ever, Snora's ever raced Cedar City.
Okay.
Was that year.
And you were like, yep, I'm in? Or you were like, I don't know.
I think I did not like sitting on the sidelines. I wanted to get in the truck at that point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how long from that point till you actually got in the truck?
4 months.
I was going to say, I think the first thing she said when we got at, or when we got to the finish line, she goes, all right, when are you going to move that seat so I can fit in?
Yeah.
I think that was a first, she didn't even say congratulations. She was like, when are you moving that?
I don't think you won, though. So
we didn't win, but we still finished.
Oh. Congratulations for finishing.
Finishing off-road is technically a win.
Absolutely.
And I definitely did learn that along the way from racing in 2015, or my first race with him in 2016. We didn't finish a race until for two whole years, till 2018.
We've been stranded in the desert a couple times together.
Yeah. Is that just like equipment failure, driver error?
He ran me into a tree.
Oh, my. After the wheel blew off. After the wheel blew off.
So, like, you're driving and he's navigating and said, hit this tree?
Basically.
And you did?
No.
No.
Yeah. We blew a wheel off and ended up in a tree, and I couldn't get out of the truck. I had to climb out the driver's side because we were in a tree. So...
so that's got to be true love when you're like, I'm going to let this chick drive my truck.
She hasn't raced it yet. I'm actually building her a class 11 right now.
Yeah.
So she didn't beat that up by herself.
And beat myself up.
I'm not giving that thing.
She wants to punish me.
So when you're driving, do you co-drive and navigate for him?
Yes. Every single race.
You guys fight? Like, don't tell me which way to go.
At the very first couple of races, we broke up probably like 10 times during a race. It got very heated multiple times. Now it's more just like I know when to shut up and he knows when to shut up and we just keep our cool.
So I would say navigating is probably almost harder because you have to know the track, know where the pitfalls are, and then communicate those clearly.
And hope that he doesn't take a right when I mean left.
I was just about to say that. And she's got to watch the gauges too because we have a dash full of gauges.
Yeah.
So he's got the easy job,
basically.
How did you learn that? Hell? Did you just decide?
Pull over.
Let
me out. Now.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I just catch on to it pretty easy. And I figured, you know, if people are up behind us, we either need to get out of the way or they're going to hit us and we're probably going to be garbage. So.
Especially on a cliff.
Yes. So I learned that very quickly.
So that's bumps, that's dirt, you're eating dust, you got dust in places you didn't know you had places, and you're like, yeah.
I don't like the dirt part, but like I like the racing part. Neither one of us like the dirt.
So that's the funny thing is I absolutely hate dirt and dust. I hate it. I can't stand
it. And this is the sport that he chose.
Yeah.
But if you're out in front.
Still hate it. It hurts.
And so you race off-road.
Exactly. Because why not?
You could drag race.
For the thrill.
Yeah, drag racing, though. You're in the car for 8 to 15 seconds.
I know. That's how I converted my boyfriend.
6 seconds.
Yeah. 6 if you're fast. Yes, right.
Yeah. Your dad used to run 6s.
My dad was the fastest sportsman in Nevada.
Top sportsman.
Okay. Top sportsman in Nevada for however many years. I don't know the stats, but...
So is he like always in the garage when you were growing up?
Oh yeah.
And you were in there too?
Oh yeah. I was in there with him, glued with him every single time he was out in the garage. I'd sit in the race car, I'd put the harness on, I'd take the steering wheel off, I'd do all the things, you know? And he also was rebuilding like classic cars and I was always in the garage helping him tear it down, pull it apart, do all that stuff. It was just so much fun. So I definitely grew up in a car oriented lifestyle, you know, and not off-road, but racing specifically in classic cars. And
so does she help you with work on yours too?
She tries to, but I kind of like just doing my own thing. Cause if something does break, then I'm the only one to blame.
He doesn't want to have to yell at me.
Yeah.
Oh, well that's good.
But I do try to help.
Then you can get your nails done, right?
They're not done.
She did just Scotch-Brite the entire truck with one of our buddies, Joe.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. They spent
very satisfying.
4 hours on that? 5 hours?
I hate it, and I love it.
It's the worst thing ever. Covered in WD-40 and no.
Seeing
rust.
The progression of the rust disappears. Amazing.
I like walking away and coming back, and it's progressed already.
That's cool. Tell the viewers why is Scotch Briting so important?
So the truck looks nice when you show up to the race.
No, so we all are, not all of them, but a few of the trucks out there run raw cages on them, because in the dirt when a crack happens, then the dirt will stick to it better, and you can find the crack a lot easier than trying to look for it through paint and waiting for water to rust on it, and it does make it a lot easier.
I think he just likes it when it shows up pretty and sparkly.
Naturally.
See,
yes.
I give logic a cheese.
That's logic, though, too.
Fair.
So you guys are co-driving. It's 3 laps.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? And you're going to co-drive. And you said you're building her another car?
Yeah, I'm building her a stock bug. An off-road stock bug.
What do you think about that?
It's going to be a lot of fun, but everyone keeps telling me it's a bad decision.
Because you're going to get beat to
a pulp, basically.
That's the true classic off-road car.
I think
right?
It'll be fun. It's like
100%.
Herbie fully loaded.
Absolutely.
You know?
I'm always cheering for those guys.
Yeah.
For sure.
They are troopers.
Those are troopers.
Especially
very
in Mexico.
Humble.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't believe how many finished the 1,000 from start to, you know, they did
the
peninsula run. I couldn't believe it.
That was I think it was more than half the class.
I know.
That was astonishing.
It was astonishing.
Is it going to be pink?
I haven't decided, but my seats are.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to lose your co-driver then.
No, I'll be there. We race in different heats.
Okay.
Depending on
sometimes.
What races.
Okay. Yeah.
Like the 2-day races, we'll still be able to co-drive. I already found her a co-driver. It ain't going to be
thanks,
me.
Thanks, Reese.
Yeah. And then for the regular, like for the 1-day races, we'll each have to find our own co-drivers. But for the 2-day races, we'll still be good.
Well, it sounds like you got to find a co-driver. She already got one.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll see if the championship continues.
Well, I'm sure Cindy will volunteer.
Yeah, I'm always available for sure.
If it's a girl, you'll for sure get a champion. That's fine.
Oh.
All right.
Guys too aggressive or something?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, if Reese can't make it,
I got
I'll
you, girl.
Give you my number.
Yes.
Here you go.
So what are your plans? So is this your first Mint 400 then?
Yeah.
Because you usually do the, okay.
Yeah, we usually do the snore races, but we just randomly were like, so that's actually what happened is they just brought Class 2000 and the 1450s into the Mint this year. And I just kind of threw it out there and was like, you know what? We should do this. Like, why not? What if next year they don't have that class? What if they're just like, oh, that was a bad idea? Because there's going to be fiberglass all over the race course. Sorry to the volunteers already ahead of time. So I just kind of threw it out there, and I was like, let's do it. And then I looked at my bank account and was like, let's not do it.
Yeah, entry fees are substantially higher than they are in our local track, for example.
Oh, yeah.
What's the typical entry fee?
So in Snore, our entry fee is $500, and our payback is like $35 per entry, only if you get first. So it's like not very impressive at all. And our entry fee for this race was $11.56.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Quite a difference.
A little bit. We could race. And then there was like this new series that came out, and they were like an extra $400. But the potential to win $5,000, so we were like,
might as well.
Kind of makes sense. And then being 1,500, I'm like, damn, we could race 3 snow races.
Yep.
But this one's kind of a big deal, and it's our local, you know, I love that they brought it back, and it's televised.
Absolutely.
That should give some good exposure to sponsors.
Yeah. That was kind of one of the biggest things I kind of wanted to, even if it's just like a half a second clip on TV, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're shooting for. So
we've always wanted live feed.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah. So do you have room on your car, on your truck for sponsors?
I do, but it's very limited without it turning into a cluster of things. Because we already have a bunch of sponsors that have pretty much just stuck through with us since almost, I wouldn't even say almost day one. 2 years before we finally started finishing and winning races and being up front and against some of the other fast guys. So they've stuck around, and we haven't raced in a year, and they're still there. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's always nice when you have people
you give
like
them
that.
A payback then. But tell us about your sponsors. Give them a plug.
All right. Well, one of them is, well, a few of them are local companies. One of them has actually been there since day one, is Best Muffler Shop. Debo always helps us out.
Old Daniel.
Yep. Yeah, he's always helped us out with my truck. He's always done whatever I've asked him to, and he always does the best work. I've never had an exhaust problem, except for that one time I hit a rock.
Not his fault.
Not
his
fault, though. Yeah, it broke a hanger. It was bad. But, yeah, so that was one of them. Another big one is Patrick Science here in town. They wrap the truck and do all the stickers for us and definitely help us out tremendously. Just bought some tires from Pat, and that's going to make a big game changer on race day. And who else we got? We got Desert Fanatics, who thankfully the last minute got us team shirts made for Tech Inspection, so we looked a little bit more official. Yeah. So last minute, thank you, Kyle. I know his roommate's listening right now. We got FOA Shocks, who's also a local company here. They've always, since day one, they've always helped us out with shocks, seals, rebuilds, custom designs on shocks. He tries different things. We go out and try it every so often. Fire extinguisher mounts, springs. I know I'm missing
them.
Rugged radios. Can't forget them. They've Kalani and Fonzie have helped us out tremendously. They got us radios, the new pumpers, new pumper hoses, all new wires. They've been amazing, and they've already offered to help with the bugs, radios, and stuff. So
very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
and then
radios is a big deal, like for the communication between you two, because it's not like you guys could just talk. So
right.
Some people watching might not understand how critical that radio communication is. Tell us what a typical radio setup looks like in your truck.
So we have, on her side, we got the radio and then the intercom, and then she's got a push-to-talk so she can radio to the pits. I have a push-to-talk on my steering wheel, and then we have the wires that go up behind the seats and then down our Parker bumper hoses that plug into our helmets. So we can talk back and forth the whole time, but we have to push our buttons to talk to either like weatherman or back to our pits or another racer if we had to.
So for the people that don't know about off-road racing and pits, what kind of things do you tell your pits?
Hopefully nothing.
I broke the truck.
Yeah, but
like they're not coming out and doing a pit stop for you, basically. Well, you guys break and you're going to say, hey, I think my such and such is broke, and they get it ready if you make it back.
Yeah, so they'll sit there all day long until we're done. And if I feel like I have a flat or something, we'll pull in and they'll change the flat for us. If we're close enough and we can drive it into the pit, if we're 15 miles from the pit, I got it out, excuse me, and change it. No, she stays in the truck. It's easier that way because the belt and heavy, and I just don't like people being in my way, honestly. And, or if, like, I'm like, hey, the steering feels loose, and I'll pull in. We'll do a shakedown or oil pressure's acting weird, we'll pull in, they'll check the oil and either refill it, or if it's full, then we're probably losing a motor, so we'll probably just stop there. But, yeah, the pits are they're behind the scenes, but they're definitely one of the most important aspects to off-road racing.
So in most of your races, are they loop races like this one is?
Yeah, I've never done a point-to-point yet.
And are they usually more than one lap?
Yeah, so most of them are usually about 3 to 4 laps, usually.
And is your pit only at, like, the start-finish, or do you put them out?
It depends on – if it's a longer race, you'll have, like, your main pit, and then you'll have 2 to 3 remote pits, which are kind of in the middle of nowhere and usually have zero service, so that's where the radios are really, really helpful. But like Battle at Prim and Rage of the River, there's just one pit because it's mile laps, and we do, I think, four of those?
Three.
Four.
Is it four?
Yeah, I think James does five.
Oh, wow.
I think. I could be wrong.
I mean, it is only 13 miles.
Yeah,
so
but we're foot to the floor the whole time. You get a flat out of that race, you lost. Yeah, you could be first by, like, 3 minutes, and you get a flat, and you're done. It's crazy.
What about, like, have you done Vegas to Reno?
I've pitted for it twice.
Pits does like a typical team have if they're going Vegas to Reno?
So what a lot of the smaller guys will do is they'll leapfrog from pit to pit. If you have, pretty much everyone does that, but the smaller teams will sometimes have 2 to 3 trucks. The bigger teams have 4, 5, 6, 7 trucks, depending on the teams. Like Menzies, they have a whole. They got a whole fleet of trucks.
Is there certain areas that they have to pit, or can it be like a chaser type?
No, so in the States, because I think because of the BLM, and not the, well, they both kind of suck. But I like one of them. They're designated pits, but you pull into them, you set up, car comes in, they pit, you load up, and then you leapfrog to the next pit.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a long day.
Yeah, it'll be fun, though. So you were on a pit for somebody? Who'd you pit for the Vegas Reno?
So I pitted for James, James and Jordan Dean, who I'm actually pitting for on Saturday with. And I think we had 4 trucks that we are leapfrogging with, only because one of the pits is so far out there. By the time I fueled them, and then I don't think they did tires, but I fueled them, and as soon as they left, we loaded up, left, and they still beat us by like 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they had.
That's crazy.
100-something miles to go. Yeah, and they beat us by a long shot.
And you're on a highway, and they're in the middle of nowhere still.
Well, this one's in the middle of nowhere, too, so it's a dirt road, and then it gets to a highway.
It's more of a remote pit.
Yeah, there's no service. That one's rough. I wouldn't like to be out there at night.
Oh, no? Yeah. Plus it's cold then. So what are you doing? You said you're pitting again on Saturday?
Yes, ma'am.
So you're going to drive. You're going to win on Friday.
I'm hoping.
And then you're going to pit for someone on Saturday.
And I hope he wins.
And is that at the start-finish line, or is that a remote pit?
I don't know where he's sticking me. I believe I'm going to be at the main pit with fuel and all that. But when race day comes, we always try to figure out who's going where. And it kind of gets a little hectic because you're trying to do your car and this and get ready. Put your suit on, and you're not really trying to worry about where to put people. So there's usually a pit captain, but
they usually strategize like the night before and just make sure everyone knows where they're going, what they're supposed to be doing,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff. So
do you guys do that on your team?
We usually have like small pit meeting, but most of the people that come in pit for us are regular pit support. So they usually know what they're going to do.
They're like friends of yours that you roped in as a volunteer?
Definitely roped in.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, we
give them snacks and water.
Yeah, the first one you're like, dude, this is going to be so much fun. And they get back and they're like,
this is
that sucks. I'm
Let's
dirty.
Let's do it again.
Yes.
So some of them.
How do you get them to come back again?
Well, it's usually each race is 2 months away, so they usually start to forget after a month and a half.
So
then, like,
perfect.
About 2 weeks before, I'm like, hey, guys, you busy? And they're like, dude, you need help pitting? I'm like, oh, he's excited.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to, you don't have to bust out one of those.
Yeah. But if you don't wreck, then they really don't have to do anything.
Yes. The last few races.
Be fun.
Well, that's the boring part.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything.
Oh, I see.
It's fun watching your car drive by every time and successful, but you're like, man, I wish I could change a tire right now or something.
They get desperate and start helping other teams, like, you know, help change their tire or do what they need in the pits, which is nice, too, because it's all family-oriented out there. Everyone just helps each other and just makes it to the finish line.
Yeah, that is great. That's the fun thing, I think, about racing, no matter what form of racing it is. It's like a family. We all help each other, for sure. That reminds me, Dennis made his dirt debut down in Mojave, showed up by himself, and yet they still were like, hey, how are you? Welcome. Do you build your own car? can I borrow a ranch? I mean, it's such a family.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you have the addiction, you're one of us.
Yeah. I've had people loan me batteries and tires and fuel pumps.
Yeah. Right on.
Yep.
I'm curious on the tech part of it. If all the vehicles are pretty much different, like what are they tech for?
So pretty much besides the trophy trucks and some of the class one cars, which are the big heavy hitter top dogs, most of all these other cars and trucks are all pretty much garage built. So they pretty much just check for
mostly safety.
Yeah. Mostly safety. Make sure that your welds don't look like crap and your window nuts are in date, your safety equipment, your fire suit, your shoes, gloves.
You've got a first aid kit.
Helmets.
A horn.
A strap in case you get stuck and someone can pull you out.
Is radios mandatory?
No.
I don't believe so.
Mm-mm.
No.
Nope. You didn't have radio.
Not even the weatherman?
Nope.
No. I think you have to have some sort of radio in your car, so I think they let you pass if you have a handheld.
How about GPS? Do you have to have a GPS?
You don't have to.
Really?
Wow. We don't run a GPS in our truck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so this is going to be interesting.
Did you pre-run the course?
Not this one. This one we weren't allowed to pre-run.
Surprise.
Well, how's your navigator going to...
Well, so...
I read the course.
Yeah, luckily...
Okay.
And the arrows.
Luckily, I saw the map, and I used to work out in Gene. Not saying this is an advantage or anything, but I used to do an ATV tour company out there.
Oh, cool.
So when I see the map, I'm like, I know exactly where every little nook and cranny is. It changes, but for the most part, I know where to go.
And have you taken her out on an ATV through the course?
We've been out there.
Not through the course.
Not through the course,
in
but
areas.
I've been out You're there, familiar. And I know some of the course, because Snore also races part of the Mint 400 course. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
you've
was,
been on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Parts of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So it's going to be a surprise, but it'll be fun.
Definitely.
It's just going to be nice driving on the course, and you get to you see your pit, and then after your pit, there's like a big, giant spectator, and people are rooting you on, and then you're alone again. And then you see your pit, and then there's a giant, big spectator area.
And don't they have like a little short course at the beginning?
Yeah, there's
for
a
the
little.
Fans?
Yeah, there's a little short course area. Kind of with jumps and flames.
Yeah.
And every time you jump.
For the fans.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the
for TV.
To break your truck, yeah.
Yeah. They had a jump last year that this thing had to have been like 15, 20 feet tall to straight flat. And they're hitting this thing at like probably 40, 50 miles an hour. Oh.
I think I have a video of that.
Yeah. That a lot of the Mint 400 advertising actually is the two videos. It's, I think, Cole Potts and Harley Lettner. Like, I am jumping that thing.
Sponsored by so-and-so struts and shocks.
Yeah, yeah, they're big. They're
and springs.
Big. They're yes, big.
That's a popular spectator spot as
yeah.
well, for
yeah.
sure.
And then there's a rock quarry, which is all zigzaggy, too.
Yeah, and they made a little course in there.
Yeah, it's...
So you could park along
Park around
there.
It, yeah. That place sucks, too. It's rough.
you say it's three laps. How
yeah.
long is the lap?
So,
how many miles?
So for us, because it's like the first time we're out there, I guess, because I know they've done it before, but this year, three laps, and they're 97-mile laps. But for the Saturday guys, they're doing four laps, so the 400. So we're technically doing them at 300.
Yeah, that's
technically.
Cool, that's cool. So for people that want to go out and watch you, there might still be parking. I haven't heard if it's sold out yet.
So I know there's paid parking in Prim, and then if you park in, what's it called? Prim Valley. Prim Valley has free parking. If you want to park behind Buffalo Bills, I think it's like $20. And then I don't know any information on the spectator passes this year because we were racing, so I didn't look into any of that.
I know they were only $20, I think, but I don't know if there's a limitation.
There was, and I didn't see anything that they're sold out yet. So if somebody doesn't have their spectator parking and wants to go watch, like, the quarry, which is a fun place to watch, you can park along the top, and then as they come in, you can see them go through. That's a popular spot. And then also the area where they're doing like 120 in a straight line, that's also popular.
Right at the road crossing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Section 2 or something. So get online and get those parking passes if you if they are still available. And if not, like you said, you can still park at Prim at the outlet mall.
Yep.
That's all free. You can walk through and go over there. And then that jump area is kind of near that area behind the...
Behind Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills, yeah.
Yeah, the quarry is just a really giant bank that they...
But that's far away.
Through.
You can't really walk there. You got to
drive
there.
No, that one's in Gene.
Yeah, that one's in
Gene. Right off. Night Road Ranch. Or Lightweight Road. Night Road. Oh, one of the two.
Yeah. For the first... Yeah,
I think Night
Ranch
Road.
Night Ranch Road.
Night
Ranch Road.
No,
there's
the
signs.
One.
There's signs.
Something
you
like that.
You'll see the people.
It says Night and Ranch and Road somewhere in some...
But I think you can buy parking passes on Thursday down at Fremont at the Mint booths,
and
I believe.
That is my favorite part. I mean,
oh.
I love the racing, but the contingency is so fun.
And there's a ton of free stuff.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like free stuff?
Everyone has booths. Your sponsors are out there. You
I
guys
thought you
are
said
out
boobs.
There. There are boobs.
There are.
They have a Miss Mint 400 contest.
They do.
And a pit crew contest.
Yep.
So that's definitely fun. So that's right there on Fremont Street. If you've never been, it's worth taking the day off work. It used to go all night. I noticed they cut it off at like 6 o'clock. Is that because we're too rowdy?
I think Thursday is cut off at 6, but
yeah.
Wednesday I think still goes till 11 or later.
I think it's 11.
Yeah, but that's a school night.
Not for us. We're off this whole week.
That's great, yeah. And thanks for coming in tonight. I know it's so close. I'm like, well, there's nothing on the schedule for Tuesday. Maybe they'll make it.
No, absolutely.
Yes, thanks for having us.
For sure. So that's definitely, if you guys want to go down to Fremont Street, that's where you guys are pushing or driving your car, your truck through, and they check. That's where they do the tech inspection.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually get up close and personal, touch the trucks, get autographs, buy gear, get involved, super fun, buy tickets.
Yep.
Personal tickets.
We do have 100 stickers, though, that we are trying to give away.
Oh,
I know we'll probably get rid of, like, 3. I'm shooting for 4, but we'll see.
What are the stickers?
It's just our logo. I'm wearing the wrong shirt. It's just one of our logos.
Very cool.
Yeah, I got some in the truck. So.
Once you go through contingency, do you, like, park there too, so people can come out and find you? Or?
I have no idea how any of that works. I called James today,
first one.
You'll learn as you go this time.
Don't have to. I was just, so some people do,
mm-hmm.
if they have a sponsor with a booth, once they go through contingency, they put their truck back in their sponsor booth.
So we were trying to do that with Rugged, but they sponsor so many, like, big, big, big people.
Well, you're big, big, big people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. I might look big. But definitely not. No, we're one of the smaller classes. A lot of people do say between us 2000 and 1450s that we are one of the more entertaining classes to watch because
mm-hmm.
we just beat the crap out of each other. It's like slamming into other trucks and there's fiberglass falling off and bedsides flopping around. But
also, it's more relatable. Like if you're watching it for the first time, you're like, oh, that looks like my truck.
Yeah,
you know? So,
that's a Ford Ranger.
Yeah, people can relate more. They're like, well,
yeah.
They
couldn't
find me on the expressway 3 years ago. I think it was a daily driver.
Yep, that's
exactly.
31s and probably 80 horsepower.
I mean, obviously the trophy trucks, you can't say trophy trucks, the trick trucks.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, I don't know. Oh, yeah, because Best in the Desert, or Score.
Score owns it.
Score owns the rights for that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So the trick trucks.
You learned something on this radio show you knew nothing about. Huh?
Not
here
about,
we go.
Not about those trucks.
I just saw my Score boss today too. Hopefully he's not listening. Don't listen.
Bleep
trick trucks, right? But the trick trucks are like what everyone sees on like the posters, and that's the top of the line class. But you know, at $1.5 million or whatever, you're not getting one for Christmas.
No. Yeah, they run 40-inch tires that each weigh 165 pounds, depending on your wheel combination. 1,100, 1,200 horsepower on some of them. Menzies is four-wheel drive, and that's – I don't even want to know what the price tag on that thing was. It's just – the prices for some of these things are astonishing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So those aren't as relatable. Fun to watch, but the class that you're running, that's the one where people are like, oh, yeah, or like a class 7.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can take your, like I did, you take your Ford Ranger apart or Toyota Tacoma.
Daily driver.
Whatever you got and learn to weld off YouTube.
Yeah.
Don't get a tube bender. Don't buy a Harbor Freight one. I tried that once. They just kink tubes. And then get some metal and start building things with your friends. That's how I learned, and that's where we're at now.
Did you, like, look at another truck and say, okay, I should do my bars like this for strength, or you're just...
So my buddy actually caged my friend that helped me build it originally. He kind of caged one before. So then we were looking at the rules, and they don't really tell you where to tie it in. So we were just like, we'll go to the NHRA rule book. So we went there, and it was like, all your tubes have to tie in here. And I was like, well, if it's safe enough to crash at 200 miles an hour, why can't it be safe enough to crash at 100?
So we
built the cage off of NHRA specs.
There you go.
And then kind of modified some things later on when we started looking at other trucks.
Well, have you ever rolled it?
No, I have not. Yeah, in how long?
Is this table wood?
I think 10 years. I've been very, very close. Very close, but I've never laid it on its side or rolled it or anything. And I'm really hoping this weekend isn't the one.
No, you got the one.
I don't think we will, but sometimes when you start battling people, it gets
a little
wild.
As long as he
doesn't
get in his head too much.
Yeah, that too.
What do you mean get in his head? He drives with his mind when he sees his friends.
When I see someone else in front of me. I hate people being in front of me.
Me too.
Like, even on the asphalt, when someone's in front of me, I'm like, nah, I got to pass them.
Sure. He just gets out of control. Like, he just doesn't know how to handle it, handle his composure or anything like that. So
I've never done that.
He's very hot-headed. And he pushes himself too much, or the truck too much, not himself, but to a point where it's like, you should slow down, because if you don't slow down, we're not going to finish the race. And that's the goal, not just beating somebody, but finishing, right? Because that's what matters in off-road racing, finishing.
Right.
So he has a different idea about that.
On the fair side, I've only blown two motors and one transmission doing that.
Only?
To be on the fair side, out of 8 years, out of aggression.
I thought it was three motors, but it's fine.
Whatever. No, that wasn't out of aggression. That was clogged injectors.
Oh. Got it.
Okay, well,
different.
Big difference.
Just bump them to say hi.
Oh, yeah. We hit each other, too, when we got a pass.
Yes.
That's the fun part.
On purpose?
Yeah, but not aggressively. Just like, hey, buddy. Boop,
tap, tap.
I'm here.
In our defense,
please move.
We honk three times, and then they don't move.
They get the chrome horn.
Yes.
Yeah.
You sure you ain't been racing at the bull ring?
Not yet. Maybe one day.
So do you, when you see him get like that, like, do you say anything on the radio?
I try to keep myself calm, but also, like, reassure him that that's not the way that we want to race, and that's not the end goal. Like, right now you're frustrated, and, you know, we just need to keep our head in the game and keep going and pushing forward. And usually he's like, okay. You know, he does the whole shrug and pout like a child.
She does do a good job of keeping me mellow-headed.
Yeah, level-headed. And
the same thing happens with circle track. You get into that third, second position, and then you start trying to drive like the person in front of you. And if that's not your line or not your style, you're just overdriving yourself, and you end up spinning or wrecking or
something not good happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you guys have a spotter on the top of the stands, right,
mm-hmm.
telling you guys what to do?
In some classes. Yeah.
Not in his class, but in
is it illegal to do it in your class? Or?
No,
yeah.
You're not allowed to have radios in that class.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The super you are because of the speed. Like, you overcome wrecks so fast, you have to. They make you have
hitting
a
wall at 100.
Yeah, so if there's a wreck, like, in turn two and you're doing 100 down the front stretch, you don't see it, you won't have time to stop.
Oh, yeah, that's
you
not good.
You have to have a spotter tell you, okay, there's a wreck in two.
Definitely.
That's only the faster classes have that, though.
Gotcha. That's crazy.
It would be nice to have somebody calm next in your ear saying, you know, hit your mark, calm down, finish the win.
Yep, I for sure have to be the mediator all the time.
Well, it's funny, I noticed that. I think it's a co-driver thing, because I just co-drove with one of our friends, Jared Hayford. He's racing this weekend as well in our class. Someone pulled out in front of him, and he freaked out. cussed him out over the radio. Well, like,
to himself.
To himself, pretty much. And then nerfed the crap out of him. And then the guy has a big old V8, and this truck has a little inline six, and he downshifts. He was like, I'm going to catch that mother effer. And then, like, we're hitting this corner way faster than we should. I'm like, dude, you need to relax. Like, you are not catching him. He's just going to leave us. Now he's just taunting you because he knows you're pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, just relax. He's like, F that guy. I'm going to get him. I'm like, I totally am on your side, but, like, calm down. So I think it's just a co-driver thing because if the seats were flipped, I'm cussing that guy out too.
But sometimes that mental game, that's a strategy.
Oh, it's
for
a big,
sure.
It's definitely a big thing.
Just like if you could pass clean and you don't, that's still, you get in their head, you know.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's a big thing is we'll honk and sometimes they won't get over because they're going slower. So then we have to try and it's kind of scary because now we got to kind of get off the track into the like kind of, I don't want to say the bushes unless in case the BLM's listening, but sometimes have to get in the bushes. And you don't know if there's a boulder behind one of these bushes and you blow your wheel off trying to pass. So it does kind of
suck. There's not like an overtake rule? Like you have to pass on the left or you have to pass on the right or solar vehicles have to...
Whatever spot you see open.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a general rule of thumb, but when you're in the situation, there's people out there that don't move. They have no common courtesy.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to do what you got
to
do.
You always try to pass on the left, but obviously if there's a mountain on the right side, you can't.
Right.
So, but what we like to do, at least us personally, I can't obviously vouch for the racers. If we see someone coming up, we try to not slow them down and we'll try to pull over as best as we can. And sometimes it's like we're halfway on the track and they're halfway on the track, but it's like the common courtesy thing is we at least tried to.
We made the effort to
help,
make the move.
Instead of just sitting there and making us go completely off track. And
yeah, because then you could get stuck too. Because
you
could hit that rock under that bush that you can't see because the bush is there.
No, we actually had that happen in Beatty once. We passed, well, two times. We passed a buggy, and then we ended up getting stuck because we hit a giant silt patch, and it completely clogged our filter. And we almost DNF'd that race because of that. So
I thought you were talking about the boulder that you took out of the ground at 60 miles an hour.
Oh, no. Before that, the Razor.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, we took a – I was radioing, and I – couldn't steer it for some reason and I was too much on the throttle and it looked like there was a rock like that tall probably
and that
would
clear it.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, we'll clip it, it'll probably hit some things under the truck. No, it ended up bending our beam, ripped our steering rod off, and it was a boulder probably about the size, probably twice as big as that.
Oh my
god. My truck was just sitting on it sideways.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so we had to get that pulled off. And luckily, one of our other buddies, Tyler, he had a spare tie rod, and we replaced that. You're never going to find that picture.
I'm going to look.
But through all that, you really like this one over here.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes.
Because I heard that you put a ring on it.
I did. Yep.
When is that happening?
That was two and a half years ago we did that.
I kind of got forced on that one because we were in the middle of the ocean on a cruise ship, so I had nowhere to go. So am I going to go jump off the boat? No, I'm kidding. No, I chose to do that one. But I always try to I like using that joke. But,
he likes to use it against me.
Yeah.
Give me a hard time.
Always. But we're shooting for October, but with everyone getting out of COVID, everything is booked, so we're still trying to figure that one out.
You do that here in town or... At a racetrack,
that's the boulder.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it looks small on that picture, but it's massive.
Wow.
Where's the camera?
There's one there,
and then there's one up there.
So it looks small on that picture, but I promise you it's a lot bigger than that.
Yeah.
It was huge. She's sitting on it.
And it was still, like, in the ground.
Yeah.
Like, there was still a little part of it in the ground.
Yeah, when I got,
and you still finished that race?
Amazingly. Yep.
We got very lucky.
So we got past. We were down for like 30, 45 minutes. And then after that, I was like, I got to catch this guy. And I just drove the piss out of this truck, and I felt so bad for it. And we're going. We got like 3 miles from the finish. I'm like, there's no way we're going to catch him if we haven't caught him within 3 miles left. The last half a mile, he ripped the rear shock off and blew a tire in a silt bed. And we passed him in it. So we beat him, and then he didn't end up coming back for like another 5 minutes after that. But we ended up beating him by, I think, like 3 minutes.
Oh,
dang. Yeah, it was nice. It was crazy.
We got very lucky.
Very lucky. Yeah, we got first on that one. So.
All right, back up to the wedding.
Oh.
Hoping October.
Yeah, we'll see.
And then what else do you vision for your future as a married couple?
Dogs.
Dogs.
Nagging.
His and her race cars,
yes.
Race trucks.
His and her race cars, race truck, bigger house with a bigger garage.
Definitely need a bigger garage.
Work on your stuff at your garage now at home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three-car garage, and it's got
so
much stuff jam-packed in it.
But useful stuff.
Useful.
Like race cars.
And with you getting your own here pretty quick.
Yeah.
That's going to.
Yeah, that's what's taking up the. Well, it was taking up the two-car for a while because we had the body off the pan to, you know, get rid of all the nasty tar and carpet and stuff on the bottom. But
they had the main tubes.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you live in a non-HOA area.
Oh, yeah, we do.
I get letters multiple times.
You do?
Times
you live in the HOA?
Oh, it's insane. Aww. It's funny, though, because I've had this giant piece of metal on the side of our house for almost over a year, and they haven't said shit about it. But I get things for, like, your trash can's still out. I'm like,
our Christmas lights are still on the front door.
No, I get the same thing. Trash can. And then as soon as I pull the trailer out, 48 hours, it needs to go back into the ground. I'm like, I'm working on stuff.
Yeah.
I've had the trailer for a whole month, and they didn't say anything. One day the trash can's out. I'm like, what? Okay.
Trash comes on Thursday. If we don't get it put back Thursday night, Friday morning, we will get written up for it.
Yeah, it's insane.
So you're looking for one of those houses with the RV garage, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Or just a full-blown shop. I'll take one of those.
Yeah. Do your neighbors like racing? Do you invite them?
Yeah, so our neighbor right directly across from us, he has a Razor. And he's came out to pit for us once, twice, something like that.
Come out a couple of times.
So he's not the one calling on the track.
Uh-uh. None of our neighbors
around
us.
Yeah, none of the neighbors on our street really care. Okay. It's just the HOA does their like laps, but they try to catch when they do it.
So we
and now they started doing them randomly. We finally figured out when they did it, and now it's just random. We're like, damn it. We finally figured it out, and they screwed us.
Yeah, mine's on windy days.
Because
my house is in the cul-de-sac. On windy days, if it's blowing towards the cul-de-sac, they're there the next day, and they write me up for garbage. And it's like, it's not even mine.
Yep.
Those are the worst. I hate when that happens. Pick your trash up. It's not mine. It's yours. You pick it up. You're the HOA.
Or it rains, and they wait 3 days, and as soon as the weeds start have that little bit of green, there they are.
Yep.
Oh, man. Forget that. We don't live in HOA.
No, we don't.
No,
that's my biggest regret, not moving out, like Lone Mountain, going out that way. I see the houses that are out there now, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Especially everyone's adding the RV garage.
Oh, yeah.
Building an oversized garage.
Yeah. Big old backyards.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Back there. So what color and what number is your truck?
So the truck's number is 2069, because everybody likes 69. And the truck is blue and black.
All right.
It's wrapped. You can follow me on Instagram, Goofy Kevin, if you want to see the picture of the truck. Thanks, guys.
And you have your own Instagram, too, or you guys have a team Instagram?
No, I have my own. You can follow me, and I'll be famous, too. Brooke Wags with 2 G's.
Very cool.
Or you can also just click on the link on his Instagram and, you know, find me there, too.
Yeah, find me first.
Always a competition.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate you guys coming out, and if you guys want to go watch some race this weekend, go out to the Mint 400. Woo-hoo. We'll have to get you on afterwards and see you tell us how it went.
Awesome.
Thank you guys very much.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening.